Cool. Hi, everyone. Hey, how are you guys doing? My name is Aurelien Bombo, or Aurelien, if you speak French. This is actually my first time at FOSDEM. And it's kind of a funny feeling for me being here because I'm born and raised here in Belgium. And, you know, after school, I moved all the way to, you know, Chicago abroad for work. And now I'm back here for work, right? So work-wise, I work with the Confidential Containers Project. Lately, I've been looking at storage. Otherwise, I just help out with different aspects of the project, notably the CI. And then I also work with the Kata Containers Project, where I'm a part of the architecture committee there, which is a group that you know, steers the project and has a final say on decisions. And then on Microsoft, my assignment really is the Linux confidential platform as part of the Azure Linux team. And I work with Archana and Nikita that I presented earlier. I work with Fabiano all the time, right? So I know some people in this room. So when you talk about, you know, confidential computing, a lot of the time people focus on the compute part, right? So what happens in the memory, not so much about networking or storage, right? And so today I wanted to share with you folks a little bit about what we've been working on with the confidential containers community to implement secure storage from the perspective of, you know, containers in a confidential setting, right? And so mind you, a lot of this stuff is still very much a work in progress, but at least this will give you a good overview on the current state of things. And so I'll talk about both the implementation itself, but also how that ties into the broader ecosystem, right? And by the way, I have a PR that's up for review. I can share with you folks. If you wanna, you know, criticize my code, please feel free. Now, first and foremost, what is a confidential container, right? So when you think containers, you think typically your standard Docker run C containers, right? Where you share the host kernel with the containers. Now you can do better isolation than that using Kata containers. You put the containers in a virtual machine, right? That still doesn't prevent you from a potentially malicious host that could attack your containers, right? And so to address this problem, we have the Confidential Containers Project, or COCO. That's the term that we use on the project to refer to it, right, COCO. And we build on top of Kata to leverage a trusted execution environment, or a TE, to guarantee the confidentiality of that VM, right? For example, by encrypting the VM memory, right? And even the workloads, the containers themselves, can use that TE to run a process called remote attestation that'll give you essentially a cryptographic proof of the contents of the VM, right? And then later on, I also introduced the concept of container security policy that we use to secure the VM boundary. So, you know, the interface between the VM and outside of the VM, right, which is untrusted by designing our threat model, right? So now, these three are container runtimes, right? They address the question of how do I run a container on a single machine, right? Now, when you're talking about deploying at scale, when you have loads of containers that you want to deploy to a cluster of machines, right, you want to use something like Kubernetes to handle what we call the orchestration of your containers, right? And so that's going to handle the deployment, you know, scaling, load balancing, service discovery, fault tolerance, all that good stuff, right? And so it's very important for the COCO project to work well with Kubernetes because that's what people use, right, to deploy at scale. So if you want people to use COCO, you want to work well with Kubernetes. And with this, get us one other aspect that's managed through Kubernetes, or storage. So it's going to be, you know, pretty important for us here to have some understanding that Kubernetes is here in the picture and that we have to work with it.
Can you speak up a little bit louder?
Louder?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm being so loud. My bad. I'll go even louder. So before I dive into the is this good? Before I dive into the details of the storage implementation itself, I'm gonna quickly run through this already simplified diagram of the life cycle of a confidential container, right? And so we'll build on top of this diagram to understand the storage later on, right? And so this is the view from the host. And so when you want to create a container, you're going to create this container spec here, which is a YAML file that you send to your cluster, right, to Kubernetes. And then on every host node of your cluster is going to be a component called the kubelet from Kubernetes. And the YAML file is going to reach that kubelet. The kubelet is going to talk to the kata runtime. And then the kata runtime will trigger the virtual machine manager, right, the VMM, to create this confidential VM right here, right? And in this confidential VM will be installed a few components, including the Rust kata agent. And this kata agent will be responsible for creating the individual containers inside your VM, right? And then it's going to talk to the kata runtime, interface with it over RPC, right? And so one key aspect to understand is that anything that is outside this, you know, this green box, the confidential VM, right, is untrusted from the perspective of the VM components, right? Now, when you talk about storage, broadly, there's two types of storage that you want to consider. There's ephemeral storage and then persistent storage. And so I'll start with ephemeral storage here. Hopefully, I have some time to say a few words about, persistent storage before, you know, I get kicked off the stage. So let me dive right into it. So even ephemeral storage, right, is a pretty crucial use case to support, because every container at some point is going to need to store data that is not going to outlive the container, but that is also not going to fit into memory, right? And so enabling that, you unlock use cases like sharing data between the containers in your VM, having temporary log storage before sending those logs over to a logging service, right, in the cloud, or caching and checkpoints and snapshots and so forth, right? And so always the first goal here, right, is going to be security and especially confidentiality, because even if the storage is ephemeral, you don't want it to be accessible to the untrusted host or to any other untrusted control plane components, right? And then we want to be careful of how we integrate with Kubernetes, right? Because Kubernetes already has storage features that people are leveraging, right? And so we want to make the transition to COCO as smooth as possible, right? So we want to be careful how we integrate with Kubernetes. And so with this, the key ideas in the design are going to be to, from the host itself, right, we're going to create a temporary block device. We're going to pass this block device into the VM. And then from inside the VM, we're going to encrypt and format this device, right? And so here, one important challenge is going to be securing this interface between the VM and, you know, outside of the VM, right, with the kata runtime, because we're injecting a VM inside that device inside that VM, right? And so we want to make sure that the interface is protected, right? And we'll do this through the container security policy. Now, this is the same diagram that I showed two slides ago. So we have the basic container life cycle, right? And so again, you start by creating this container spec, right? And so here with our confidential storage type, it's a new storage type, right, that we're introducing into the control plane, right? And to implement a new storage type in Kubernetes, you want to implement something that's called a container storage interface driver, so a CSI driver, right? And so you create a container spec, you put a reference to your CSI driver in it, right, for your storage. Then you send the spec to your kubelet. The kubelet is going to see that reference to your CSI driver, right? It's going to call into your driver. In this case, our driver is going to create the temporary block device, right? Send that block device over to the kata runtime. And then the kata runtime will virtualize that device as a virtual block device into the VM, right? And then also send some metadata about it down to the kata agent over RPC, right? Now, when the kata agent sees your block device with that, you know, custom reference, it knows it's a confidential storage, right? It's going to call into this component called the confidential data hub, the CDH. And it's in this CDH that we're going to first generate a random encryption key. We're going to use that key to encrypt the device, right? And then we're going to format that device and finally mount it into the container, right? And so one property here is that, the key is generated inside the VM. The VM is encrypted, right? The key does not leave the VM, and the key gets destroyed with the VM, right? So with all this, we can guarantee that the data is only, accessible to the confidential VM here, right? Now, this is the last side of the design, right? So it's not going to get any more complicated than this. The last aspect is going to be the security policy. So, you know, to secure the interface, right, between the VM and the outside. So one key thing that you have to understand about Kubernetes, right? So when you create this container spec, when you send your YAML file over to the kubelet is not actually going to send the YAML spec as is to the Kata agent. It's actually going to transform, augment that spec into a much lower level spec, right? And it's this lower level spec that will actually be executed by the Kata agent. And so in the Kata agent, when you receive that spec, you know, you're going to execute it, right, the lower level spec. But because remember that all those components outside of VM are untrusted, they can still tamper with the spec, right, between the moment where you create a container spec and the moment where it reaches the Kata agent, right? And so you want to protect this lower level spec. You want to guard it, right? And we do this with a tool that we call the policy generator. And so this policy generator is going to take your YAML spec. It's going to generate a security policy that maps one-to-one to your lower level spec, right? Re-inject this policy into the YAML spec, and then we're going to send both the YAML spec and the security policy into the VM, right? And then once it reaches the Kata agent, we're going to enforce that the YAML spec and the security policy match, right? And if they don't, we're going to reject the container creation request, right? And so this is pretty important in our design because, as I was saying before, we're injecting a device into the VM, right? And so we also want to make sure that device, the metadata even included with that device, is not tampered with, right? And so we're going to include the device as part of the security policy as well by modifying the policy generator, right? And so this was one half of it. So if you've noticed here, we've enforced the policy inside the Kata agent, right? But the policy is still not trusted at this stage, right? Because it's still coming from outside the VM, right? So now we want to ensure the trustworthiness of the policy itself, right? And we do this through the attestation process. And so here, the way that it's going to work is that after the Kata agent has enforced the policy, it can, you know, connect to this attestation agent here, right? And you will have a remote and trusted attestation service on the right here. And this attestation service is going to have a reference security policy, so the ground truth for your policy, right? And so then the attestation agent will send the container security policy, right? Fetch it from the TE, send it over to the attestation service. The attestation service is going to compare the policy that it receives and the policy that it stores, right, the reference security policy, right? And it's going to send that result over to the attestation agent, right? And if that process passes successfully, then you can guarantee that your policy is trusted, hence your container is trusted, and hence your device is trusted, right? And so that closes the loop here on a confidential ephemeral storage implementation, right, because we've, ensured trustworthiness end-to-end here, right? So that was it on the theory part. So, you know, now we can take a breath a little bit. I'm going to show a very quick demo in a shell here where we're going to deploy a spec. So we'll look at the spec, we'll deploy it, and we'll play with it a little bit, right? So let's look at the spec. We have the YAML spec, right? A bunch of metadata up top, the name of the container you're going to create, my app. Then I, you know, generated the policy before the talk here, right, to save some time. So it's base 64 encoded. It's pretty large, so most of it is going to be truncated, right? But that's how it appears in the spec as an annotation. And then we make a reference to our custom storage driver, right, the CSI driver, which is called COCO local CSI here. We claim about 10 gigs of storage. And then we mount the storage inside a container on /mount/encrypted, right? Now we can deploy this into the cluster with kubectl apply. The container was created. Now, because this is a test environment, right, we can execute into the container. and then we can list the file system that we just mounted. So from right to left here, it's mounted on /man/encrypted, like I said before. We have about 10 gigs of storage. It's an X4 file system. And then here we have a virtual device, right? Because the original host device was encrypted, right? And so here we use the DMCrypt and DM Integrity, which will create a virtual device, a DevMapper device, right? And then we can CD into this folder. It's going to be empty at first, right? Because we just created it, we just formatted it, right? And then you can write some very sensitive and complex payload into that storage. And then you can read back from it, right? And so here, I wanted to show that the from the perspective of the container, right? For you as a container developer, this encryption layer is totally transparent, right? So the container does not have to do any setup, to configure the encryption settings and so forth, right? All you have to do is specify that CSI driver in your container spec, right? Now, really quickly on persistent storage, I'm going to show one design. You know, there's a few designs that I'm thinking about that fulfill different goals, right? The good thing is that the design, if you understand the firmware storage, the design is very close. There's only two components that change: the CSI driver, and then those are the old slides. Never mind. The CSI driver, and then the key broker service. So this was the firmware storage. This is persistent storage, right? So two key changes here, right? And the CSI driver, we're not anymore going to create a new block device, right? We're actually going to get some storage that's pre-provisioned, right, from somewhere in the cloud, most likely, right? And so this block device is going to be pre-provisioned. It's already going to be encrypted, and it's already going to have data in it, right? And so, excuse me, now when we get into the confidential data hub, we're not going to generate a random key anymore. We need to get a key from somewhere, right, to decrypt, forgive me, the storage that was already created, right? And so we're going to get a key from this key broker service here. And the attestation flow is very similar to before, right? So we trigger the attestation agent. The attestation agent connects to the key broker service, the KBS here, right? And then the KBS itself is going to perform the attestation, right? And then if attestation passes, the key broker service will release a key to the attestation agent, and then the CDH can decrypt the storage and then, you know, expose it to the container. And that was it, folks. So the next steps are going to be for me to try to merge that ephemeral storage PR, trying to figure out this persistent storage stuff. And if you have some ideas, you want to come talk to me after this, like, please feel free. I'm open to any ideas. Thank you so much, folks. Thank you. So one question. So we have 2 minutes. We'll take one question, I think, one or two.
Ephemeral storage, you're using that presumably for...
Not complete.
...for content that you know something about. So how do you mitigate known plain text attacks against that?
Your question is, for ephemeral storage, you...
You often put in that stuff that is known.
Right.
Somehow.
Known by who?
By a possible attacker, because it's always the same.
I think that's an assumption. So you're saying for ephemeral storage...
There are cases where it's the case, what I said.
So are you asking me, or are you, is that a statement?
That part is the statement. The question is, how do you mitigate against plain text attacks?
Okay, so let me make sure I understand the question. So the question is, for ephemeral storage, you...
When you know that there is something in that ephemeral storage that you know about.
Yeah.
So you have a known plain text, for instance, let's say a container image or something like that.
Right.
How do you mitigate against plain text attacks in that case?
So, for example, container images are not stored in this ephemeral storage, right? This is just for data storage, right? So, if when you're saying if we have known content in that ephemeral storage, I guess I still don't understand the question, because regardless, that storage is going to be encrypted, right?
Yes. But that's the point.
Right.
If you know what is inside, mm-hmm. then it's relatively easy to...
Oh, you're talking about replay attacks?
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about? Right.
Yeah. Right. No text attacks.
No
text attacks or replay attacks.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know that there's... you know, for example, we're using DM integrity, right? And I know that's still vulnerable to replay attacks, right? That's something we're worried about. That's something that we're working on, right? And we're evaluating different solutions. But yeah, right now, you know, we're just getting started on this, right? So we don't really have I don't really have a good answer to give you, if you will. Do you know what I mean? Okay, that was it, folks. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time.